Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to go ahead and read from the first verse and down through the sixth verse today. Revelation chapter 20, begin to read with verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the sweet hymns, the special, the offertory, the reading of your word. Thank you for the Sunday school classes as we come together to learn your precious word. Just please guide and lead us, dear Lord. It's such a wonderful opportunity we have to be here. I ask that you will please give us great wisdom as we come forward to this next election, that we will be searching your will and your way, put it to prayer, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Please, dear Father, that we can begin and take this nation back in your name. Now, please guide and lead us as we study your precious word today. It's wonderful that we have the opportunity to come together. And we know as the times come to a close of this age, that time will go away. But the gospel will not be presented freely and clearly. It'll have to be hidden and spoken quietly, because if caught, certain death will come. So please, dear Lord, help us to claim your strength and your peace each and every day. Please help us to open our mouths and speak your gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection to all that we're around. And watch your power and strength bring them to salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This 20th chapter, we covered most of the third verse, and just in a little bit of review, we're going to look at why he was loosed for a little season. And we have talked about that. But why, when Satan is bound, the tempter is kept from the folks during this 1,000-year reign of Christ, why would the Lord loose him for a season? Well, for that time period, as we talked about, during those 1,000 years, they will be doing basically what we do today. We build houses and businesses, and the and they'll live and multitudes will be born during that time. They will be born from those that are saved through the tribulation, that walk then right into the millennial reign of Christ, where Christ and his kingdom is set up. But during this 1,000-year time, why, those that were alive will come in, and they will have children, and children will have children, and there will be multitudes born during this time. The tempter, the devil, will be bound. And so at the end of this, God, as we know, is not a respecter of persons. We have all faced the temptation of the devil. Adam faced it, Eve faced it, the Lord Jesus himself faced it. And so for these folks not to be tempted, God then would be a respecter of persons, and he is no respecter of persons. And so he is loosed for a season. And the saddest thing is that multitudes will follow after Satan. This will be his last time. This will be his last desperate attempt to overthrow God's throne, and he will desire to be above, as Isaiah 14:12 tells us, above the stars of God, as we read that last week. And so his desire still, even though bound for 1,000 years, doesn't take his desire out of trying to defeat and destroy God, God's kingdom, and all that believe. And so he will set out to do that, and there will be multitudes that will follow after the devil, even though the Lord Jesus is here on earth. They will see him ruling. He will be ruling and reigning with a rod of iron, and yet they will still choose Satan's way. And so very, very sad. Many will follow. Chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These thrones, there is a millennial government that's going to be set up. And when we look back into Daniel and here with John, why we see these thrones, Daniel, when he witnessed this, he was in exile. He was in captivity in Babylon. And John, when John the Beloved here, that is the human hand that has written the book of Revelation for us, he was in the Isle of Patmos. And so both were exiled when they saw the vision of the thrones. It was the same throne. When Daniel saw this throne, it was different because it was unoccupied. When John sees the thrones, he sees them occupied. Let's go back with, if you would please, to Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel chapter 7. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. That in the Hebrew is placed. You may have a reference, just a little note, if you've got a Schofield Study Bible, why it'll show a little note there on the side where it'll say that it is placed. And so in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, till the thrones were cast down, it tells us they were placed. Daniel does not lead us into the millennial reign of Christ. Daniel leads us to that, just simply to the beginning. And I would like for you to read, if you would like to this afternoon, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, those two verses, because it really tells us of what is to come. And so please do that. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, point to a millennial government that is coming here to earth. And so as we have looked now at the thrones, I saw the thrones, and let's look at, and they sat upon them. Who is the they? Now, if you'll go with me back to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You'll find that right before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse verses 2 and 3. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? But again, in the very beginning of verse 2, do ye not know that saints shall judge the world? Saints shall judge the world. So you go back to Revelation chapter 20, the fourth verse there, and we have the thrones. It's the government that's set up. Daniel spoke of it. John is telling us about it. And then we have they that sat upon them will be the bride of Christ. Kings and priests of God will be the ones that will be seated there. And some include the Old Testament saints, some don't. It's just a matter of opinion there. But judgment was given to them, to the bride of Christ, to do this judging. And so we will have that opportunity to judge. And then as it continues in that fourth verse, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. If you'll remember back in the sixth chapter of Revelation, we read about the saints that were under the altar. And so please go back with me to Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. As we look now in this 20th chapter, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. It is fulfilled. All those that were martyred, those that died for Jesus, died because they proclaimed the name of Jesus, died because they called for folks to repent and be saved, died because they were saved themselves, and they refused to deny the name of Jesus. They refused to take the mark of the beast. They were beheaded. This group that's under the altar back in Revelation chapter 6, all the way to this point here. So it's from the time of the rapture until the very end of the seven-year tribulation, that period of time. That period of time. And the majority of those probably were put to death at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. These souls that are spoken of here, souls, these souls are martyred. The souls underneath the altar, butchered, murdered in the most horrible fashion that we can imagine, because they said the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know that, I know I didn't. I never thought that there would be a time in this land, this country, that to be a Christian, you would be on the outside. But today we're there. Today we're there. We're there in the schools. We're there in public. They can have any other religion. But to be a Christian today, we are on the outside. And so we are watching right now the beginning of the fulfillment of what God is talking about here. But during the tribulation period, of which none of us have to be present, if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you've trusted Him in your heart, you've went to the cross of Calvary and accepted that perfect sacrifice, If you've done that, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, then you don't have to face this 7 years, this whole the time that we've been talking about in Revelation, all the vials and everything that's been poured out, all the judgments are there. You don't have to be a part of that. You can be in the presence of the Lord in heaven during this time if you'll come by faith to Jesus. And instead of that, many will choose to take the mark of the beast. And the list is here. It says those that were beheaded, those that were slaughtered, butchered, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, what is simpler? What is easier to do? If you were living in this time, even today we see it, what is easier? What's simpler to do? Just to not mention that you're a Christian. Just not stand up for the name of Christ. That's the simple thing to do. Well, how about during the tribulation period? How about during the tribulation period when you mention the name of Christ and say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and you know that it means death. And not a simple death, not an easy death, not you know, you've seen movies and things like that where they take you out to the guillotine and they cut your head off. I think for the Antichrist and for the beast, that's going to be too simple. They're going to want us to suffer. And they're going to want all to see us suffer. Whoever they put to death, they're going to make an example of them. Every time they put one of us to death, they're going to make an example. Every time. And so when that takes place then, and you're standing on the side, and you're questioning whether to take the mark of the beast or to follow Christ, what's the easy way out? What's the simple way out? Those people can go to the store. Those people own houses. Those people have money. Those people are successful. They have everything to take the mark. What's the problem? What's the problem? I just heard this morning that they said that they have a chip now that can have all the information of your life on it, can maintain everything, bank accounts, everything, and it's the size of a seed of rice. And that can be put in your hand or in your forehead. It's already there. Technology is a wonderful thing. We don't need to have banks, no checkbook. You never have to balance your checkbook. You don't have to keep records of anything. There's no reason to, because it'll all do it right there. Every time a transaction is made, it's through here. There's no, you know, no fraud. Won't that be wonderful? Boy, no fraud. That's an ironic statement, considering that the beast is ahead of this. That's what they say. There's no fraud. There'll be a lot of ways that they'll sell this thing. But you think about it. You were there. You just watched somebody that you know, somebody that you love, just got taken out and beaten to death. And now they ask you, do you want the mark? What are you going to do? What would you do? Again, you're born again. We don't have to do that. But if we neglect to tell people about Jesus and they go off into this period of time, which could be soon, you look at everything that's going on, we're closer to one world government than we had ever, ever, ever been. He's coming again. And he's coming soon. We need to make folks aware of what's coming. And Jesus is the only way. But I want you to think about that. What would you do? What would you do? Facing certain death. Would you deny Christ and take the number? Or would you say, no, I'm going to trust in Jesus and die? Now, what advantage is that? Death. You're done. The end of this verse of Scripture tells us why that we need to take our eyes away from this world and on to Christ, because we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And it's not just 1,000 years, it's eternity. It's forever and ever that we're going to rule and reign with Christ. So keep your eyes focused on what's real, because everything that Satan has is deceiving, is lies. There is no truth to it. And if it has the appearance of something that is good, it is not good. It is evil. And so please give that some thought. The souls that we're talking about here, because you see, there was a resurrection when Jesus came out of the grave. There were a lot of Old Testament saints that were seen. There was a resurrection then. There is the resurrection at the rapture of the church when Jesus comes to get us and meets us in the air. We've got that resurrection. We have another resurrection right here, because it is the resurrection of those that were beheaded. And that's going to take place. The one was with Christ. The other is when the church age is over and the church is raptured and the tribulation begins. And this we find to take place now at this end time of the tribulation, those that were murdered and put to death during that time. And so we find that we are going to have company as the church. These martyred saints will join us. They will rule and reign with us, because the Scripture is very clear that that's what's to take place. Lived. Beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived. Prior to that, we find over here, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. And now we find they lived, the resurrection. They were raised and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 years. The resurrection. The rest of the dead lived not again until that 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Again, it's called the resurrection of the just. Luke 14:13-14. Turn there with me. Luke chapter 14. We're going to look at the resurrections. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And when thou makest a feast, call the poor and the maimed, the lame and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So there is one that's listed, the resurrection of the just. Now, if you would please go to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 5. Verse 29. John chapter 5, verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, when you look at those verses of Scripture, why, that gives some meat to those that believe the saved and the lost will be judged side by side. But that's not true at all, because there is 1,000 years apart from them, and we're going to look at that. Now, if you would please keep in mind verse 29 and go back with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, because this fifth verse is the first place in the Scripture that puts the 1,000 years between. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So you see, as we look in John chapter 5, verse 29, it puts them side by side. come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. But Scripture confirms Scripture, and so we've come to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. It tells us there's 1,000 years between the two. Now, when Jesus come in the rapture, only the righteous were raised. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are asleep and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, verse 14, it's right there. That's right. It does. It's since. For since we believe, we know Jesus as our Savior. It's not a question. Once we know Jesus as our Savior, we are eternally saved and kept. That is the rapture. Only the righteous will be raised there. When he comes in the end of the ages, only the wicked will be raised and will appear before the great white throne judgment. Now, when we look at this, understand that there will be not one saved person at this final judgment. We're going to look at some other verses of Scripture. I hope you held your hand back in John, because John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 says, we have read verse 29, but we're going to read them together this time. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. That does include the good and the bad, the saved and the lost. All will hear his voice and shall come forth, every one of them. So it proves that there is a resurrection of the lost and a resurrection of the saved, both. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The hour before, between the good and the evil, is 1,000 years long. The hour will come, and it will come, but there's 1,000 years between them. Before the millennium, the righteous will hear his voice. Those are saved. After the millennium, the wicked will hear his voice. Now again, there are three resurrections of the righteous. There is one of the wicked. Just one. The fifth verse, but the rest of the dead live not again 1,000 years, again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. I want you to be a part of the first resurrection. You need to know Jesus Christ to be a part of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. As we look at this resurrection, realize that we will be home with the Lord as soon as this age is finished, before the tribulation starts. That's a great gift that God gives us. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you can find pre-millennialist, mid, or post. You can find all those kinds of people around. But the Scripture is very clear that Jesus is coming before the tribulation starts. He is coming first. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, there. He's coming to take the church away that we don't have to face this time. Folks that you know that's lost, maybe folks that you know that have died. Did they die last year? Did they die 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago? Brought back some old memories. Every once in a while, we get the mail turned around, and I get my uncle's mail. Not very often, every once in a while. And him and my granddad used to farm together. Granddad's been dead for many years. Uncle's still alive. And he gets this letter from Prairie Farms. They used to dairy together. And they got a report on prices of milk and all those things. And so that letter come, and it had my uncle's name on it and my granddad's name on it. Still there. Grandpa's been dead a long time. And we got to thinking that probably, if we go back to when they dairied together, we're going back about 55 years. 55 years. And that brought some memories back. When I used to go out, and I don't know if you've ever been to Dairy Barn when Dad or Granddad or something would decide to squirt you with the milk. Hit the cats first, and the cats are gone, why then you're the next target. And I remembered those things. And then I wondered, is Granddad saved? I don't know. But when he died, if he wasn't saved, he went to a place of torment. And he will remain there for another 1,007 years, if Jesus would take us away today, another 1,007 years, he'll remain there, only to be taken out of that place of torment and placed in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. We've got a message to take out. It just pleased my heart so to get home, and on the way, see that grave my granddad open up, and he'd go with me. Actually, he'll go before me. I'll be following if he's safe. What a glorious day that's going to be. But for those that don't know Jesus, they will be a part of the second death. Good old saying to remember. Tell people, born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. And we may not even have to die once if Jesus comes to get us. Physically born, born again, born twice. Maybe face death. Born once, just physically born, and you don't trust in Jesus. You'll die physically and die spiritually. Be separated from God eternally. All lost people have the benefits of God today. They'll lose those. Place of torment until they're brought forward physically at the end of the millennial reign and placed into the lake of fire. 1,000 years between those two judgments. We've got a message to give. We need to tell people how to be saved. Let the Spirit of God work. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have today to come into your house and proclaim your precious word. I just ask that you'll touch every heart. As we watch the kingdom of God unfold, and we will rule and reign with him, and we'll judge with him, and what a wonderful opportunity it is. Please that we don't get our eyes focused on the things of this world so much that we don't serve you, we don't praise you, or worse than ever, we reject you. We must come by faith to Jesus. Father, if there's folks here that do not know you, please, right now, today is the day of salvation. Please trust in Jesus and begin that wonderful walk. Because there will be a judgment. There will be a day. There will be a resurrection. Whether you're lost or saved. But to be martyred here, to be brutally put to death, is nothing when it comes to eternity with you, dear Lord. Let us lift up your name and proclaim it, whatever the consequences. Now please touch every heart, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.